60 and the switchbacks. We're coming down in the motorhome with that car pushing it behind there. And we get down to the bottom where the lady sells the fry bread and you cross the little river there. You know, everybody knows that place. And these people are running at the motorhome. They're running. They're chasing after us. They come running over there saying, "You got a fire extinguisher. You got a fire extinguisher." And the smoke was bellowing out and we were on fire. We were on fire. Literal flames coming out from the right front wheel up underneath there. And I had a fire extinguisher. We are lucky to be here. I am an old man. I moved quick. Ask her. Quicker than she could believe. I grabbed that fire extinguisher out of the flames coming up, smoke coming up from underneath the wheel. I laid on my back up underneath that fire extinguisher and hosed my brakes down there. And it was burning the wires. And the grease was on fire there on the boots. It got so hot coming down that hill. Flames. So I thank the Lord for the snow. There was snow up in there. And after I got the fire out, literal fire. She's going, "Was there really a fire?" I go, "There was really a fire." We haven't looked at it yet. I don't know. We might. Anyway, we brought the motorhome down. I packed it. I got snow from the side of the road and kept packing it on my wheel there and behind the hubcap, cooled it down. We sat there for about an hour down on the bottom of that hill. I unhooked the car from the motorhome. We pulled a car behind us. Yeah, no phone service, of course. Well, we came. If we wouldn't have put a fire extinguisher to that, I'll guarantee you 30 seconds longer and we would have burnt. Our home would have burnt. But the Lord... Now, I don't understand that. Why, you know, we say things like, "God's in control." Well, if God's in control, why did he just keep the fire? Why didn't he stop the fire before it came? You ever think like? We believe God's in control, right? So why didn't God just make the fire not start? But we say God's in control because we put the fire out. Oh, God stopped the fire. Where's God's plan in that? Is it in the fire or... No, see, God's got it all worked out. God had that all worked out. What if the fire extinguisher wouldn't have had any juice in it? I haven't looked at it since I bought the motorhome 10 years ago. What if it was God's plan for it to burn? Well, there wouldn't have been any juice in the fire extinguisher. So where do we decipher out whether it's God's plan or not? Or what? Maybe we needed a motorhome. Well, we do need a new motorhome. But evidently it's not in God's plan for us to have a new motorhome yet. If they'd burn it, well, then we didn't know we'd get a motorhome. You ever wonder about that? God's plan. I believe that we were on fire yesterday, and it was God's plan to use it for an illustration for you this morning. Because you don't really understand God's plan all the time, do you? We got here, even though we got the excitement. How many of you got the excitement of your house on fire yesterday? We had a great day. It didn't look like God's plan was going very good coming down that hill with the smoke bellowing out of it. But God had a plan. I believe it was for you today. I believe you are here not by mistake. I believe our fire was, well, I wish it was a mistake. Anyway, Genesis chapter 1. Have you ever had an introduction like that to a sermon? It wasn't planned, or was it? Genesis chapter 1, are you there? Look down there in verse 26. It says there, "And God said..." Well, that ought to be enough for a sermon right there. Amen. "And God said..." By the way, that word God right there, I'm just going to tell you this before we get started. It's a three-part word. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Amen. You go back, it's talking about... That's what God is. Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. "And God said..." And boy, and it just makes it very clear. Look at what it says there. "And God said..." This is what God said, "Let us..." Look at that word, "us." You know what "us" means? More than one thing. You see how clear the Word of God is? Even from chapter 1. "And God said, let us make man in our image." Who's the Creator? God. "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over everything that creep and every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of the tree yieldeth seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. By the way, you're part of God's creation there. All the other days of creation, he says it was good, but on the last day he says it was very good. Amen? You're part of that. How many would you say, as we just read that, from Genesis chapter 1, that God has a plan? Doesn't it sound like God has had a plan all the way through? And wouldn't that plan include you? Wouldn't that plan include today? And wouldn't God's plan include eternity? And you're here. Let's look at this. Dear Lord, we love you. Thank you again for the privilege of being here. We thank you for the faithful folks that are here. Many faithful folks, not only in this ministry, but sitting in these pews, Lord. And I just pray that you'd give us all something from your word today. Thank you for being so good to us. We'll give you the praise and the glory for it all. Lord, if there's somebody here this morning needs encouragement, I pray that you'd encourage them. If someone needs a challenge here this morning, I pray that you'd challenge them. If somebody here today needs to get saved, if they've never trusted you as their Savior, I pray that you would convict them and then give them the boldness to deal with it just as soon as possible, maybe even today. Lord, we love you and thank you. Give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God's plan. God has a plan, and we're going to look at this a little bit, but I want you to think about it a little bit. And of course, I talked about it there back in verse 26. God said, let us, Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, still from the beginning, God had a plan. Very plan. God had very, very simple to look at this and know that God had a plan. It goes on down there, and I love what it says there. Let him have a likeness of them, created a dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl there, over the cattle, over the earth. Goes on down. God created, verse 27, so God created man in his own image. That means he would probably understand. He understands where we're at and what's going on. I mean, God can understand we're in his image, amen. God and his omnis, he created them, and male and female. You know, God knew what he was doing when he created male and female. Now, the world is busy out there trying to change that, aren't they? They're messing with that a little bit, messing with God's plan. Male and female, he created them, and God blessed them, and I'm glad, and said, be fruitful. By the way, I like that. I like the fact that God said, be fruitful, aren't you? And he says, and multiply. I love it. Multiply. Replenish the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea. I don't know about you, but when I go fishing, I want to catch something. Aren't you glad? I mean, I love sitting in the boat watching. It's a beautiful day. And even I enjoy fishing even if it rains. Better than working on the sewer. Amen. Could have been worse. Could have been working on the sewer and it raining. That is no fun either. How many of you have been there? Yeah, it's not a pleasure at all. But God said, God gave us dominion. What did he say? Subdue it, gave us dominion over the fish of the sea. I love it. God said, when you go fishing, you're going to catch fish. You do it right, you can catch fish. Reel them in, cook them up, and eat them up. Amen? I love God gave us dominion over the fish. He goes in, and he goes in, and over the fowl of the air. I love to hunt pheasants. Anybody hunt pheasants and doves and things like that? Man, I love it when I go hunting that I got a gun and I can shoot, bam, and I get to bring that quail home and eat it. God gave us dominion over them. You know, go out there and try to catch them. I like to hunt. Amen. I'm glad God gave us dominion over the fowl of the air. We can go turkeys and man, it's just all over the kind of thing. Everything that moveth upon the earth, God gave us dominion over it. I mean, by the way, dominion means we get some control over it. God gave us that. He gave us some control. Behold, I've given you every herb-bearing seed. I'm glad that God gave us dominion over the trees. I'm glad when I walk up to the apple tree to pick that, or an orange tree like you guys have here, oranges and grapefruit. I'm glad when I go up to get that orange off that tree, that the tree doesn't just slap me and say, no, I'm not giving you one today. We have dominion over that, aren't we? Now, you might get poked a little bit on that orange tree or whatever, but you got dominion. You can cut that tree down if it pokes you too many times. God gave you dominion over that thing, amen? I'm glad God's got a plan, amen? Had a plan, still has a plan. We'll always have a plan. I'd love just thinking about it. Every beast of the earth, God saw that it was good. Everything He'd made, behold, it was good. Very good. Glory. I need to get my sermon notes out. God has a plan. Over in Colossians, I want us to look at another little thing here. Over in Colossians, let me just read it to you real quick here, unless you're really fast. Colossians chapter 1, talking about God's plan and His creation. Down there in verse 15, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, talking about Jesus Christ here, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Glory! God created it. He sustains it. He maintains it. He's had a plan from the beginning. His plan is still working today. It's not out of control. It never will be out of control. Amen? We may think it. We get out of God's plan. We can think all kinds of strange things, can't we? God's got a plan. God has a plan. We just didn't happen, by the way. There wasn't a poof and there you were. No, God had a plan. In fact, God's plan, and it was in place before you were ever born. Before your parents were born, God had a plan for you. God knew, in His omniscience, He knew you were coming. He knew you were going to be here one day. You just didn't happen. God's not out of control. He knows what's going on. We make plans, though, don't we? We make plans. You talked in Sunday school about your heart. Your heart devises plans. Boy, some people, I plan on, you know, I had a goal in life. You know what one of my plans were? I was going to retire at 35. And I was planning for it. Guess what? I am now 60 and I'm not retired yet. I'm still planning on it. No, I've kind of really given up on it. Because I don't think that's God's plan for me to retire. It's just to go till I die. And then I don't even have to die. Really. Amen? How about it, brother? Amen? That's it. God's plan. Way of glory. Think about this with me a little bit. I want to give you something this morning, if I can do that. God has a plan for you. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Teenagers need to hear this. God did not create junk. And you are not junk. God has a plan for you. You need to find out what it is. And He'll give you what it takes to do it. And by the way, old people, including me there, God still has a plan. I want to help you with it a little bit this morning if I can do that. I want to give you three things. But before I give you these, I want you to think about this. God has a plan, but so does the devil. So does the world have its own plan for you. And you know what the devil and you know what the world's plans are? And even some people that we hang around with sometimes have their own plans for you. You know, a lot of those plans are to take you away from doing God's plan. The world is full of people that don't want to have anything to do with God, and they don't want you to have anything to do with God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There's a lot of fools out there. But that's not God's plan for you to be a fool. God's plan is for you to find and to follow His plan. Let me give you three things here. Man, who you let making plans in your life? God has a plan. Let me give you these 3 points. If you're writing anything down or if you get anything today, you know, it's okay to remember the fire story. But I want you to get these 3 things today. I don't believe it's a mistake you're here. I believe it's God's plan for you to be here today. This message to be preached to you today. Not me. Brother Storm could have been preaching the same message here this morning. If that would have been God's plan. But instead, I just get to be the spokesman here. But it was meant for you to hear this today. So let's listen. Three things. If I can give you these real quick, if this is all you get today, I'd be happy. Even though I think the Lord has more than just that for you. Here's the three statements I want you to get this morning. First of all, let me ask you, do you believe God has a plan?
Yeah.
Has from the beginning. And God's plan doesn't run out. Amen? It's not going to... Okay, here's the points. You ready? Number one, God's plan is always going to be the best plan.
Yeah.
Number one. Boy, that's simple, isn't it? God's plan is always going to be the... By the way, do you know what always means? Always. Yeah, always. Simple. Always. God's plan is always going to be the best plan. That's simple enough, isn't it? Number two, ready? God's plan supersedes all other plans. God's plan supersedes. You know what that means? If there's two different plans, one of them is going to be the one that is the best one or trumps the other one, or the one is... can anybody help me with that? Supersede means one of them's better. One of them replaces the other. If there are two choices, this one's going to be the one that supersedes. If this one says something and this one says something else, this one supersedes it. It's the one that gets done. If this one replaces this one, if they're different, okay? God's plan supersedes all other plans. Woohoo! If God says something and somebody else says something, who wins?
God.
Yeah. Who is always right?
God.
Supersedes. So if God says it, everything else is null and void. Huh. Isn't that good? Boy, if we could only just follow these. If we could only really get this down. God's plan is always going to be the best plan. God's plan supersedes all other plans. God's plan supersedes the devil's. God's plan supersedes the world's. God's plan supersedes what your boss at work says, what your buddy at the wherever you go, what your teenager teacher tells you, if it's different than God's plan. Even if the preacher said something different than what God's word said, God supersedes. The third thing here, ready? Our best plan, and we can have one, by the way, our best plan would be to find out and follow God's plan. That's kind of like one of those circle things, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It all comes back to God's plan. And He has one. And it's the best one. So let's just look at these a little bit. I'm looking at time, and you said 1 o'clock, right? Mm-hmm. That's not my plans. And I don't think that's God's plans either, and He supersedes mine. And I think it'd be the best plan if I didn't follow my plan and go to 1, because I want to come back sometime. So let's look at these a little bit here. Man, the world's got to... You think about this, if you could just get this. And start looking at life like this is real. Listen to this. Young people, God has a plan for you. Understand that? All of us here. God has a plan for you. The world has a plan for you. Every one of you, the world wants to do something with you. Every one of you, God has something He wants to do with you. If we could just get that. And we could just put our heart and our focus and trust this one. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path on this during His plan. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. So anyway, let's look at this a little bit here. God has a plan. You believe it, right? Uh-huh. All right, God has a plan for every individual. We'll just start there. We're just going to go small. Everybody can understand that because you're here an individual. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for every one of us to realize that we're a sinner. God has a plan for us all to realize that we have sinned, broken God's laws, done wrong. Think about this. Verses. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, as it is written, There is none righteous, no, not one. Down there in verse 23, I believe it is, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We need to realize that. God's plan is for us, because of we've sinned against God, the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, see, God's got a plan. We were going to sin. He knew it, amen, every one of us. But God has a plan that we all can be a forgiven sinner, amen, have the gift of eternal life. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6, verse 23. But the gift of God, yeah, God's plan. He's a giving God, isn't He? He loves us, cares for us, watches over us, ponders our path, going with us. God's got a plan for all of sin. Yeah. For all of sin. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I stumbled on my words, didn't I? Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, God's plan, is eternal life. Amen? The gift of God is eternal life. So anyway, think about that. God's plan for us all to be born again, to be a forgiven sinner, to be saved. There's some verses over in Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing, regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. God's got a plan for us. For anybody that will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. That's His purpose. His plan for every individual is to be saved. Whosoever. Who does that talk about? Everyone. Whosoever. That's God's plan for all of us, amen, as an individual, to get our salvation settled. There's some verses over. I've got a lot wrote here. I'm just not going to be able to get these all to us this morning. You're glad I'm not going to get them all to you. But 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says there, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Goes on and says there, who gave Himself a ransom for us to be testified to. God's plan for every individual is to be a forgiven sinner, to trust the Lord as their personal Savior. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, for the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's will for every, God's plan for every individual is to get their salvation settled. Amen? Amen. The only way you're going to get that settled, God's plan was through Jesus Christ, who died, who came to this earth, that us that we read about back in Genesis. He came, lived a sinless life, died, buried, rose from the grave, blood sprinkled on the mercy seat, sitting on the right hand of the throne of God today. He's our mediator. He provided a way of forgiveness and salvation for every one of us. That's God's plan, amen? Hope you got that settled here today. Maybe that's why God's plan had you here today. You don't have that settled and you need to do that today. Maybe that's why you're here today. I don't know. You'll just have to figure that out. God's plan for every individual is to get saved, amen? For whosoever. Can't please Him until you do. Hebrews chapter 11. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. And He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek. Well, have you known Him? Have you accepted Him? Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize You're the Savior. I realize Your plan is for me to put my faith and trust in You, and I'm going to do that. Just individual means it's you and Him. It's just between you and Him. So I can't get saved for you. Pastor can't get saved for you. I can't get saved for my wife. I can't get saved for my kids. God's plan is for you, an individual, to come to God yourself through Jesus Christ. I'm a guilty sinner. I'm trusting You. That's God's plan for you as an individual. Amen. I hope you got that done. I need to move on. God has a plan for, you ready? His people. Are you His people? Have you trusted Him, Lord, as your Savior? You're one of His people now? You're a Christian? You call yourself a Christian because you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Well, there you go. God's got a plan for you. We need to trust Him, amen? Trust the Lord with all thine heart. We're His people. We can do that, amen? We ought to be doing that. Trust Him in everything and through all. simply said, for God's, you can't say it much simpler than this. God's plan for His people, the Christian, is to just simply trust and obey. Well, we know that song, don't we? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. God's plan for us as an individual, as a Christian, is to trust Him and to obey Him. Well, we know this, don't we? That's a, Brother Marvin, that's a sure a lot easier to say than it is to do. You ought to be down on this side of that pulpit. I am on that tomorrow and later today. You know what? Yeah, trust and obey. No, are you perfect? No. Are you perfect? I know better. I don't even have to ask you guys. I know. I can look out there and see. I'm just kidding you. Amen. Trust in the Lord. You know, we know John chapter 10 there. The Lord was speaking. They were questioning Him on who He was and everything. And the Lord gave some directions on His people. Amen. Us. We should be doing some things. This is what He said. He said, "My sheep." That's us. He said, "My sheep hear My voice." Are we listening to His voice? "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them." Isn't that good to know? "And I know them, and I know them, and they follow Me." That's God wants us to follow Him. His people, the Christians, He wants us to follow. "And I've given to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father, which gave them Me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hands. I and My Father are one." Man, they weren't happy with that. So what did the Jews do? They took up stones to stone Him again. It's not the first time. Sometimes when we're doing what God wants us to do as an individual, following His plan, trusting and obeying, you know, everybody around us doesn't like it because they have their own plan. Remember these over here? And they're going to do their what? When you're doing what God's wanting you to do and you're following God's plan, well, they're going to be throwing stones at you too, or even more. So what are you going to do? You're going to follow God's plan, the one that supersedes, the one that's the best plan? You're going to follow Him, and what are you going to do? He did. He kept going, didn't He? He went right on to Calvary, like in the next chapter or two. What are you going to do in the next chapter when they start throwing stones at you? Going to keep going, aren't you? Keep following. That's God's plan. You keep following. Trust and obey. God's plan. I need to keep moving here. We were given the Ten Commandments. What was it for? Anybody kept them all? Honest people here this morning. You know it. You know, it's just to show us what sin is, isn't it? In our need for the saved, Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Man, that's a lot of thou shalt nots. Get over it. There's a lot of thou shalts do, too, by the way. Because God's got plans for us as a Christian, amen? As a believer, there's some plans that He's got, trusting and obeying. And we know that God wants us to obey. Ten Commandments is very... We have the whole instruction manual. We just need to obey. Trust and obey. Over in the Romans chapter 12, I'm going to go there real quick. Romans chapter 12, we see some plans that God has for His people. Romans chapter 12, down there verse 1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren," that's talking to the believers, "brethren, I beseech you there, I beg you," beseech means beg, basically, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God," boy, we need God's mercy, "that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." God, here I am. I'm ready to do Your will. Whatever it is You want, I'm going to trust You and I'm going to obey. Because then it says to present your bodies a living sacrifice. You got to do that while you're alive. Amen? Holy. It's how we should live, acceptable unto God. Amen? There should be. Possible, which is your reasonable service. What's God got for you to do? Amen? Be not conformed to this world. Remember God's plan? And the world's plan? The world's plan will conform you, form you to what it wants. Or what we need to do is follow God's plan and let Him form us to what He wants. I know you're here for a reason today. What is it? Are you thinking that? Why am I hearing this today, Brother Marvin? Or the Lord? What is it that You got for me here? Am I not trusting the way I should? Is there something I'm not obeying? Is there something in Your service I'm not doing? Is there something I'm not giving? Is there somewhere I'm not going? Am I letting the world conform me instead of letting You form? Am I following Your plan, God, or am I following the world's plan? Am I following some people somewhere, their plan, or am I following God's plan? As an individual, yes, trust of the Lord is our say. The world will say, "Oh, I got more time. I can wait till later. Oh, God's a forgiving God. He'd never send anybody to hell." That's not what He said. He's got a plan. He provided. Oh, the brakes are on fire. The brakes are on fire. God's plan. Hell's on fire. Hell's on fire. God's plan. He provided a way for it to be put out. God provided a plan for so you don't have to go burn in hell. Well, why did He create hell in the first place? That's His business, not yours or mine. God provided a fire extinguisher named Jesus Christ. God's plan, I don't understand all that. Why didn't He just make me an angel and put me in heaven and leave me there? No, God's got a plan. You down here, show your trust and obedience to Him. Tell others. But what about God's plan? Just trust and obey. I don't understand. I'm glad I don't understand it all. Oh, glory, I need to be. God's got a plan for every individual. Yes, trust Jesus is there. God's got a plan for His people. Let me just summarize it real quick here. To follow, to trust, to obey, to do His perfect will. Amen. He's got it there. I can't read all this. God wants us to, His plan is for us to choose to love Him. He already loves us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in Him shall not perish. But we love Him because He first loved us. I mean, it's throughout the Word of God talking about God's loving us. He wants us to choose and follow His plan to take the loves that He gives to us and give it back to Him. We get to make the choice. The world doesn't want you to do that, does it? Bad English, but it's true. God wants us to tell others. Gave us the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28. God's got a plan for the church. Hebrews chapter 12. Man, I just don't have enough time. Somebody made that clock go way too fast this morning. Hebrews chapter 10. Let me give you this, and then I have got to move on. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold the profession of our faith without wavering. You know what that means? We're supposed to stand firm in God's will. We're supposed to stand firm in our salvation, not waver. Profession of our faith. Yes, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm going to tell you about it if I get my chance. That's what it ought to be. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful to promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. God wants us as believers. It's part of His plan for us as believers to gather together for a lot of different reasons, to encourage each other. You know, you're not going to tithe if you don't go to church, most likely. Sure, people send some money in, can't get to church. Don't give the missions if you don't get to church, most likely. Got other things to do. God's plan, the world's plan has got you all wrapped up in them. Some people tithe at the casino. Just some people tithe with a scratch on a ticket. God's benefits are a lot better. I'm not going to meddle there. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Kind of means to encourage one another. But exhorting one another so much more as we see the day approaching. Glory. God is good. God's plan is the best plan. We miss it if we don't get in there doing it. God's plan for every individual. God's plan for His people, the Christians, to live by faith, walk by faith, be faithful to church, tell others, love, honor Him, pray, thank Him. I don't have time for all this. God has a plan for parents. Amen. Mom and Dad, God's got a plan for you. We've seen male and female. God's plan does nowhere includes two females. It's hard to have children, two females. You understand how God's plan is going to be better than that? God's plan, male and female, to get busy multiplying, enjoying each other, doing it God's way. You know, the father-son relationship. God's laid things out, amen? Male, female doesn't work. We can't multiply. We can't do that. But the world's got a plan. Well, what? Turn on the television set. God, the world's got a plan for you. Leaves God right out. Two females look good. Not in God's plan. Who? By the way, who's influencing you there? Better get that away. Because parents, mom and dad, God's got a plan for you, and one of them is to keep your kids away from that mess. And find God's plan. God's time. Male, female. God's plan is family, by the way. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife and they shall be one flesh. That's God's plan back in Genesis again. God uses one man in authority, puts him in a place. Women follow. I don't have time to establish all this. God's got a plan for the mom, the wives. Submit yourselves unto your own husband as fit in the Lord. We know the verses, train up a child in the way he should go, and was old enough to... We know all these. And fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord with mother's help. That's what we're supposed to be doing, mom and dad. We're supposed to be helping our children to find God's plan. And if we're not, I'm here to tell you, the world has a plan for your children. And they will take them from you. And they will make them what their plans are. And you may never hear from them again or see them again. Or the relationship will never be what it should be and could be if it was patterned after the way God wanted it to be. Enough said. I can tell by the loudness of the crowd, including my wife. God has a plan for the kids. Got to be quick. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which thy Lord God giveth thee. Exodus 20. Children, obey your parents in the Lord and all things pleasing unto the Lord. My son, hear the instructions of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Hear ye, children, the instructions of the father to know understanding. My son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them, continue upon thine heart. Tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. And when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and the proofs of the instructions are a way of life. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. God's plan for the kids, amen, and the parents. God has a plan for every family. We looked at God has a plan for every individual. God has a plan for His people, the Christian. God has a plan for the mom and dad. God has a plan for the family, every family. I'll tell you a quick story on it. Many of you are up past the point where your kids are all raised and everything, as well as I am. But I got a pastor friend over in Clovis, New Mexico, and they as a family wanted to support some missionaries. They wanted to support some missionaries, and they wanted to give some money to the building program at the church. So you know what they did? They started cleaning as a family a funeral home. And the money they got as a family from cleaning that funeral home, they used for that very thing. Building program, supporting missionaries. They did it as a family. They'd all go down there, four kids, whatever, and three kids, whichever ones happened to be there. They'd clean that whole place up. Some of them vacuum, some of them are cleaning, some of them are cleaning the toilets. And they did what they were going to do. And they did it as a family, amen? I don't know who cleans this church, but there may be a family that you want to raise your kids up, love, and get them busy doing things around the church. I don't know who cleans this church, but maybe there's a family that needs to step up to the plate and start cleaning the church. Do it as a family. Those kids, I don't know. Just a thought, though. What are you doing as a family to glorify God? What's God's plan for your family? Or are you busy finding out God's plan or the world's plan for your family? Well, glory, I need to be done. God has a plan for this church family. You know that? God has a plan for this place right here. And maybe you need to join this place right here. God's got a plan for you here. Don't tie your hands behind your back because you didn't join. God has a plan for this church family. Support missionaries to go tell the neighborhood about Christ. The different things that go on here, I know you guys are busy, but could you do one more thing? Could you maybe just stop for a little bit and say, God, is there something more in your plans that I need to be doing at Florence Baptist Church that I'm not? I'm only here for 6 months out of the year. Lord, is there something during the 6 months I'm here that you want me to do? It's quiet again. God has a plan for every country. Amen. God has a plan for this state. God has a plan for this nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He has chosen for His own inheritance. What has God got for our country? What has God got for this state? What has God got for this city? I don't know. He's got you here. Let me just go. God has a plan for you right now. Do you know it? Have you asked Him? God, what's your plan for me right now? Is there something that I have planned or is different than your plan? Lord, do my plans and your plans match up? Ask him. I'm just, you know, I think there's a lot of people that are afraid to talk to God because he really might speak to them.
Amen.
You mean I really? You mean that's really what? Why don't you do that today? Why don't you ask God? God, is there something in your plan that I'm not doing? Salvation? Lord? We got this salvation settled? He's settled on his end. Because he planned ahead for you. How about you? You've got salvation settled? God's plan for you as a Christian. Trust and obey, simply said. God's plan for you as a family. God's plan for you, this church family. It is yours. Does God's plan match your plan? Well, glory. I wrote this in my notes as I wrote there, we all make mistakes. Amen? But God still has a plan. As I was, so this morning, I wrote that in my notes this morning. You know what that kind of means to me? That's something fresh that somebody needed today. Remember? God's plan, if you're waiting for an end, here it comes. God's plan is always going to be the best plan. God's plan supersedes all other plans. Our best plan would be to find and follow God's plan. And he added this morning this statement, we still make mistakes, but God still has a plan. What are you doing? I'm done. Are you saved in the vision? If not, God's plan was for you to hear this morning and for you to get it settled. There's people here that have Bibles, that have some verses, they know how to pray, and they would love to sit down with you and spend some time with you and help you to get that salvation settled here this morning. This is a church. You need to walk down this aisle and join this church while you're here. Today would be the day. You need to maybe just bend a knee this morning here and say, dear God, would you forgive me where I've followed the world's plans or somebody else's plans instead of your plan? Would you forgive me, God, and show me and help me to follow your plan? I don't know where you're at this morning, but would you stand with me? We sang a song this morning, page 522. I don't know what you do for invitation, but I just know so much. Today is for somebody. We